Today on Path of Grace.
In verse 8, Paul tells us that he rests in this knowledge. He rests in this truth. But it's also this very same truth that caused him to lose everything. It was this truth which he proclaimed which caused him to become an outcast, to be rejected by the religious world, and which brought persecution and suffering big time into his life in this present evil age. The greatest news ever about Christ truly being a successful 100% Savior brought all sorts of havoc and pain and misery into Paul's life. I wonder if you and I should expect any different. Have you noticed how the religious world around you responds to the message of true grace and a successful Savior who accomplished it all for us? The response from the religious world is generally not pretty. They reject it. Paul talks about righteousness. Yeah, righteousness from God, righteousness of God through the faith of Christ. Religion focuses on you being righteous enough to be accepted by God. Paul talked about Christ becoming our sin and you and I becoming the very righteousness of God. What a trade. The religious world tries to make it all about self and righteousness an individual strives for through their own effort and performance. That is called self-righteousness, and the world loves it. Why? Because it appeals to our flesh. In our previous study of Philippians, we were in chapter 3, and we saw Paul talking about having no confidence in the flesh. In other words, when it comes to our ultimate standing with God, salvation, being a part of the body of Christ, being a servant of God, as one who knows the truth, you are to realize, to know, to understand that it's all about what we have in Christ. It's about what Christ has accomplished on your behalf and my behalf. And what we've been given is truly a gift. It's freely given. Yet, sadly, so many do not enjoy the beauty of the gift because it's kind of been ripped off from them, so to speak. They've been scarred by those Paul referred to in this chapter as evil working dogs. What kind of evil working dogs? Religious evil working dogs. We talked about that in our last study. If you missed it, give it a listen after we wrap up today. But Paul was talking to you and me, those who know the truth, about resting in and rejoicing in Christ Jesus, not rejoicing in ourselves or self-righteousness, and also not struggling in our flesh to try and attain salvation from death, salvation from the grave, or struggling in the efforts and strength of our flesh to try and merit good standing with God, which would then lead, if you have a good day, to rejoicing in yourself, and if you have a bad day, to condemning yourself and doing that thing Paul talks about in Colossians, alienating yourself from God in your own mind. That's when you don't have a good day. And have you ever ridden that roller coaster? Wow, I had a good day. I'm up on this high point. Oh, I had a bad day. God must not like me all that much. My friend, the good news of the gospel of grace, the evangel entrusted to Paul by our Lord Christ Jesus, is that we don't have to ride that roller coaster ever again. We can get off of that thing. And as a result, we rejoice in Christ. We give Christ glory. We praise him because he is a successful Savior who has proven Father's love for you and for me and literally gone out of his way to make the point. He went all the way to the cross, right? And as a result, it's not about anything you or I bring to the table on our best days or on our worst. And when you try to base your standing with God on your worst performance, on your worst day, ooh, what a miserable existence. So we're to set all that behind us and realize it's all about Jesus. Again, that's why we rejoice in him. We rejoice in Christ, what he has done, what we have in him, who he is, who we are in him, and have no confidence, zero confidence in the flesh. Now, have you ever noticed how the religious world seems to focus pretty much totally on the flesh? We may have Jesus' name thrown here and there, but yet when it comes right down to it, the practical application is it's all about you and what you do. It's about your flesh. Have you ever sat through a religious service where the message seemed to have that kind of shape up or ship out flavor? Or the flavor of your ultimate fate depends entirely on what you do or what you don't do with your flesh? the type of message it seems to be calling for you to cut certain things out or cut things off? Think about our last study and cutting things off. And what a contrast it is between the gospel of grace. Contrast the gospel of grace with the message of religion. One message makes you your own savior based upon what you do. Think about it. They may say Jesus did 99.9%, but it's up to you now to bring that other 0.1% to the table. What you add in or cut out. And then the other side says this, it's Jesus. Whatever needed to be done to save you, he did it. It was finished on your behalf. Let me ask you, which of those two messages sounds more like good news? And let me ask you something else. Which of those messages is completely different than every other religious message out there in the world? A world permeated to the core with religion. So anyway, as Paul writes to these believers, these people of truth, these people resting in the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the work of Christ, Christ the Savior, Christ the Redeemer, Christ the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Christ who died and rose from the dead, Paul says, we rejoice in him. In him. He's the focal point. And have no confidence in the flesh. Our flesh is not the focal point. For good or for bad, on good days or bad days, with great performance or poor performance, we have no confidence in the flesh. The focus is not our flesh. And then, as we come to verse 4, Paul begins to talk about his flesh resume. And let me tell you, his resume is the type of resume that the religious world would salivate over. But you know what? Paul tells us that his resume and all that stuff that he was so proud of, those things that he had pursued and lived for, the stuff the world of religion lusts for, he said it's all garbage. And then he says if there's anyone who might place confidence in their flesh, it would have been him because he had such a great resume. But ultimately, the resume meant nothing because it's truly all about the resume of Christ. If you want to rest in someone's resume, let it be his resume. If you want to rest in someone's works, let it be his work. If you want to rest in someone's righteousness, let it be his. That's what Paul is telling us. Jesus is the Savior. Paul was not. Jesus is the Savior. I am not. Jesus is the Savior and you are not. That's why we rejoice in him and have no confidence in our fleshly efforts. Now, here's how verses 4 through 6 read in the good old Young's Literal Translation. It says this. Though I also have cause of trust in flesh, if any other one doth think to have trust in flesh, I more. Circumcision on the eighth day, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, according to law, a Pharisee, according to zeal, persecuting the assembly, according to righteousness that is in the law, becoming blameless. In other words, in the eyes of the religious world, Paul was the guy who had it all. He was a Jew among Jews, and he looked at his resume and took it all the way back to his eighth day out of the womb when he was circumcised. The very first piece of fleshly effort that he had on his resume was connected with that little piece of flesh that was snipped off the end of his eight-day-old penis. He says, I was an Israelite, not a convert to it. He traced his roots all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin, keeping track of every joining of flesh that produced each generation. When it came to religious rule-keeping, Paul was a Pharisee. When it came to the law of Moses, people would see him as blameless. Because as a Pharisee, not only was he focused on the law of Moses, but he also had hundreds of additional religious rules to pretty much govern every aspect of his life, even down to how to properly spit on the Sabbath day if you needed to spit. People would have said, wow, he's so spiritual. And not only that, he had harassed and persecuted the daylights out of those groups that didn't do things the right way in his eyes, right? He persecuted the assembly, we just read. In regard to living a religious, committed, self-sacrificing, others-persecuting life, he got an A-plus in the eyes of man. People would have looked at him and said, wow, if there is anyone righteous in the eyes of God, it must be this guy, Paul. Oh, if only I could be so devout. If only the rest of us could attain the amazing level of religiousness. Oh, that's a target we've got to shoot for. Oh, if only we could be. But then as we keep reading, Paul says, I consider all of that to be rubbish or refuse, garbage, Garbage is not something you hold on to. It's not something worth keeping. You set it out on the curb for the trash man to pick it up and haul it away and throw it in a landfill. Verse 7, down through verse 11. But what things were to be gains, these I have counted because of the Christ loss. Yes, indeed, and I count all things to be loss because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, because of whom, of the all things, I suffered loss, and do count them to be refuse or garbage, that Christ I may gain and be found in him. Check out verse 9. Not having my righteousness, which is of law, but that which is through faith of Christ, or the faith of Christ, the righteousness that is of God by the faith. To know him and the power of his rising again and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, verse 11, if anyhow I may attain to the rising again of the dead. My friend, Paul is letting us know that if there is a way to be rescued from death and the grave, Sheol, Hades, for to be rescued from that, it isn't about me or you rescuing ourselves through our religiousness or our works. It's not about our faithfulness. It's not about us keeping a particular list of rules or religious regulations or a certain code called the law. Instead, it's about righteousness, but not mine and not yours, the righteousness of God given to us, imputed to us, not through works or rule keeping and religious regulations. And it's not even about our faithfulness, but instead it's about the faithfulness of Christ. He said it's through the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. My friend, it's the faithfulness of Christ. The faith of Christ, not your faithfulness. It's the work of Christ, not yours. Not faith which you try to muster up through whatever means you try to muster it up, but instead it's the faith of Christ who willingly marched forward to the cross, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured that cross, and who rose from the dead, and through him one day we will also rise. Not through us, not through ourselves, not through our own performance. In verse 8, Paul tells us that he rests in this knowledge. He rests in this truth. But it's also this very same truth that caused him to lose everything. It was this truth which he proclaimed which caused him to become an outcast, to be rejected by the religious world, and which brought persecution and suffering big time into his life in this present evil age. The greatest news ever about Christ truly being a successful 100% Savior brought all sorts of havoc and pain and misery into Paul's life. I wonder if you and I should expect any different. Have you noticed how the religious world around you responds to the message of true grace and a successful Savior who accomplished it all for us? The response from the religious world is generally not pretty. They reject it. Paul talks about righteousness. Yeah, righteousness from God, righteousness of God through the faith of Christ. Religion focuses on you being righteous enough to be accepted by God. Paul talked about Christ becoming our sin and you and I becoming the very righteousness of God. What a trade. The religious world tries to make it all about self and righteousness an individual strives for through their own effort and performance. That is called self-righteousness, and the world loves it. Why? Because it appeals to our flesh when we're having a good day. And it also leads to religious groups controlling and manipulating people and profiting from them. And we'll go ahead and wrap up there. When we get together next time, we're going to continue our journey through this letter to the Philippians and take it up right here in chapter 3. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your prayers, your encouragement, and your support. I sure appreciate you being here with me. Be blessed, my friend, as you rejoice in Christ and rest in him, because it's all about him.